Beginning on Daf Misach, the site of Daf Lamed Beis, we begin 11 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues with the 7th Perek of Misach, the site of Perek El Namar. Now, this Mishnah opens up something related to the context of this Masechta, and then obviously discusses all those other things that are part of these lists. So the Mishnah begins, Elu Namar in Mechal Lashon. These are the following things that can be said in any language, and the first one is the one that's related to our Masechta, which is Parsha Saita, which is the topic that the Kohen tells to the suspected adulterous woman, which inclusive of that is the oath that he makes her take regarding what's going to happen if she's really guilty and she drinks the Saita waters. Now, what essentially the halacha is telling us is that he doesn't have to tell to her in Lashon HaKodesh, which is the way it's written in the Torah or in the Megillah, meaning there was a Megillah Saita, there was a scroll that was written with all these ideas, which is then that with Hashem's name erased in the water, and then she drinks it. Now, the Sefri says that the reason why it was necessary to say this, as we're going to learn later on from a pasuk, that it's permitted to actually have this conversation with the woman, the suspected adulterous woman, with any language, is because if not for that, we would have thought that you learn out the halacha of Saita from the more lenient halacha of a Yevama, from a Kavo Chaymer, where in regards to the context of a Yevama, in regards to Chalitza, which is a more lenient halacha than that of Saita, and over there it was necessary to say it in Lashon HaKodesh, so too then Saita, which is more stringent, isn't it a Kavo Chaymer that would have to be said in Lashon HaKodesh? That's why we needed to have a special limit to say that Saita, that parasha, could be said in any language. Another one is Uvidu Meiser. Uvidu Meiser is the confession of the Tais, which is in the third year of the seven-year Shemitah cycle. The person has to say, Bi'arta HaKodesh Minabayis. As it says in the Varm Chavav, he has to say, I took out all that which is holy from my house, which means to say that he takes out all the maestras that he was obligated to give, and he took it out of his house, and he can't hold on to it and delay any more of giving the tithes where they belong. And that is meaning maestra rishon, the first tithe, he has to now give to the Levi, maestra ani, which is in the third and the sixth, he has to give to the poor people, maestra sheni of the previous 2 years, he has to go ahead and bring it up to Yerushalayim now, if he hadn't brought it up until now, and ketsumer over there. Now, when he does is when he finally liquidates and gives out the maestras where they belong, he would make a confession, which these words are, when he says, Bi'arti HaKodesh, that I've taken out that which is holy, that's a reference to Maestro Sheni. When he says, V'gam Nesati V'Levi, and I also gave it to the Levi, that's a reference to Maestro Rishon. And when he says, I gave it L'Ger L'Yosem L'Amona, to the convert, to the orphan, and to the widow, that's a reference to the Maestro Ani. Those are the three types of maestras that there are, that he has to get rid of at this point, 3 years into the Shemitah cycle. Now, that's what the Mishnah is teaching us, that he could say this statement, which he says when he does be your meister in any language, as we're going to learn later on the source for this. And the chiddush again in this is that we do not require, although the wording that he's supposed to say is written in the Torah in Lashon HaKodesh, the chiddush is, the novelty is that he doesn't have to say it in that language, he could say it in any language that he knows. Kriya Shema, the recital of the Shema, which is said in the morning and the evening, again, could also be in any language that a person can say. Betfilah and prayer, uberchas hamazon and the grace after meals, benching, ushvuas ha'edus and the oath regarding the fact that you don't know testimony that they're trying to subpoena you to say testimony for, and ushvuas ha'pikaton, which is the oath that a person makes that he denies having this deposit that the person is coming to claim for it, which these last two halachas are whatever the language was used in the dialogue that they had to make an oath on the person who is either saying that he doesn't know testimony or he doesn't have this deposit, and he denies and he doesn't admit it, and then it turns out that he really did know testimony or he did have the deposit, then he's liable for what's called a carbon oil of a yarid, which means to say it goes up and down depending how much money you have, to what the level of carbon you bring, either an animal or a bird or a flower offering, which is said by the Shavuos Ha'edus, or in the context of Shavuos HaBikadon, you have to bring what's called an Asham Gezelis, which is the carbon Asham of theft, because you really did have that person deposit. Again, that oath that was taken, which then if you swore falsely will make you liable for this carbon, is in any language that the oath was taken. Now, however, the Mishnah continues and says, Ve'elu nemorin b'Lashon HaKodesh. The following list, however, has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh, in the true Hebrew, that of that which is written in the Torah. Now, what the idea of this is that we don't say that this list we're going to quote now should be learned out from the previous list, where although those the phrases are written in the Torah, regarding what they're supposed to say, and yet still we say that they don't have to be said on Lashon HaKodesh, as we say regarding all those that we just mentioned. However, the list that we're going to say right now, there's special limudim that are learned out that they have to be said on Lashon HaKodesh, and that's why they're different. And they are Mikra Bikurim, which is the parasha that's said when the person brings the first of the Shivas Aminim in Eretz Yisrael, when he brings those up to the Beis HaMikdash, where he would recite from Arami Oibed Avi until the end of that parasha over there. That has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. And the Chalitza, when one does Chalitza to his Yavamah, where she first says, Me'on Yavami, that my Yavam doesn't want to do Yibim, and then he says, you're right, Lechafatz Lekachta, I don't want to take her. And then after the Chalitza, she says, Kach Yasalish, this is what's done to a man that doesn't marry his widowed sister-in-law without any children. So those phrases have to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. And brachas uklalis, the blessings and the curses which Yeshua and the Jewish people said Bahar Gerizim and Har Evil also had to be in Lashon HaKodesh. Birchas Kohanim, when Kohanim do Nesias Kapayim, when they, what's called Duchening, when they bench Yivarech Hashem Yishmercha, that has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. Ubirchas Kohen Gadol, the brachas that the Kohen Gadol makes on Yom Kippur after he does the Avodah in the Holiest of Holies, in the Lefnai Lefnim, in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So then he would read from the Torah a certain parashas, and then he would make eight brachas, as it's brought in the Mishnah later on, the Memem Abeis. Those brachas had to be in Lashon HaKodesh. Uparshas HaMelech, which the Gemara is going to explain at the end of the parak, which that's a reference to what's called Parshas Hakel, which is at the end of that Shemitah year by the following Sukkot. Then he would recite a certain parasha, that had to be in Lashon HaKodesh. Uparshas Egla Arufa, and when there was a person that was killed on the road between cities, and no one knows who murdered him, so then the closest city elders had to come and bring what's called a decapitated calf, an Egla Arufa, and then the elders would recite a parasha on that animal by saying, Yidenu Leshavchu, etc., that our hands not spill this blood, Kapalam Chiyasol, you should atone for your nation, the Jewish people. So that parasha had to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. And finally, Meshuach Melchama B'Shosh Medaber Elo'am. There was a certain kohen that was elevated and anointed for a certain purpose of when the Jewish people go to war. So he had to go ahead and tell them certain things of inspiration and motivation, and he would tell them, etc., that when you're going to come to the war, Shema Yisrael, listen, Jewish people, Atem Kriyim Ayoyim, you're close today, and Ki Hashem Lekechem, because Hashem is your God, and so on. That had to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. Now the Mishnah explains the second category, those are the things which require to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. So asks the Mishnah, Mikra Bikurim Ketzat. In other words, it means to say that how do we know that the recital of the Parasha of Bikurim has to be specifically in Lashon HaKodesh? So on that, the Mishnah explains, because the Pasuk says in Devarim, the Anisa of Amart Lefnei Hashem Lekecha, that you will answer and you'll say in front of Hashem your God, this Parasha of Bikurim. Now, Ulahalan hu Oimer, and it says in the context of the blessings and the curses of Har Gerizim, the Anu HaLevim V'Omer, would use the same Aniyah and Amir. It says that the Levim will answer and they'll say. So we learn now from there, Ma'alahalam B'Lashon HaKodesh, just like over there has to be in Lashon HaKodesh, which the Gemara later on is going to explain, how do we know over there actually, it's also said in Lashon HaKodesh, but as we'll explain shortly, that's Lashon HaKodesh, so Afkan B'Lashon HaKodesh, so to over here by Bikurim, which also used the term of Anu and Amru, it also has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. Chalitza Ketzat. How do we know the next item of when one does Chalitza, when the sister-in-law that was widowed without any children takes off his shoe, it's Chalitza. How do we know that those words that are said at that time have to be in Lashon HaKodesh? As it says in the Pasuk in Devarim, it says, V'ansa v'amra, that she, the Yavama, will answer and she'll say, Now, ulahalanu, I'm in there. Behar Grizim and Har Evil. It also says, as we just mentioned, V'anna alvim v'amru. So, Malahalan, just like over there, that uses Aniyah and Amira. That's B'Lashon HaKodesh. Avkam B'Lashon HaKodesh, so to over here by Chalitza, has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he argues, he says, you don't have to learn out this halacha of Chalitza that has to be in Lashon HaKodesh from the Gzeres Shava from the Levium, because actually you can learn it from the context of the parasha of Chalitza itself. Because the words that it says over there is, V'ansa V'amru Kacha. She will answer and she'll say as follows. Now the word kacha sounds like exactly like this, exactly as we're saying it here in the Torah, which is until she says it exactly as it's written in the Torah, which is in Lashon HaKodesh. Now the Mishnah continues and says, brachas uklolas ketzah. That what exactly was the process that we're mentioning that also had to be in Lashon HaKodesh, which was the blessings and the curses of whoever keeps the Torah or doesn't keep the Torah, which was at that time in history when the Jewish people passed over into Eretz Yisrael at the times of Yeshua. So what exactly was it that happened at that time? So the Mishnah explains, Kim v'sha'av Yisrael se'yarden, once the Jewish people crossed over the Jordan, uvo of the river that separates from the Transjordan and Eretz Yisrael proper, so when they crossed over, uvo al har Gerizim al har Ebal, so they came to these two mountains, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, Shebe Shomron, which is near the Shomron, Shebe Tzad Shechem, which is on the side of Shechem, Shebe Eitzel Eloi Nemoyer, which is near Eloi Nemoyer. Shneem, like it says, the Pasuk in Devarim, it says, Haloyheima be'eva ha'yardim ha'gem, when it was being demonstrated in Devarim to Moshe Beinu, saying that what's going to be, that the Jewish people will accept at that point on Har Gerizim and Har Ebal at a later point in time, says that is on the other side of the Jordan, which as that Pasuk in ends, Eitzel Eloi Nemoyer. Now, now there's a different pasuk in Bereishis that says, Avram went through the land, meaning of Eretz Canaan, Admok Mishchem ad Eloin Meir, until the place of Shechem, until Eloin Meir. So we learn from there, Ma Eloin Meir Amar Lahal and Shechem, just like over there by Avram Avinu. When it says it was near Eloin Meir, it was a reference to Shechem, Af Eloin Meir Amar Kan Shechem. So also over here, that's what the Mishnah was coming to prove. When it was near Eloin Meir, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was told, that that's where it's going to be, where they're going to have the curses and the blessings, was also, again, the place of Eloi Nemeir, which is near Shechem. Now, the Mishnah says that Shisha Shvatim Ola L'Resh Har Gerizim, they had half the tribes, six of the Shvatim that went up to one mountain, Gerizim, V'Shisha Shvatim Ola L'Resh Har Evel, and the other six tribes that went up to the other mountain of Har Evel. Now, V'HaKohanim, V'Levim, V'Ha'oran, Imdim L'Matab Emtzabit, and the rest of the Jewish people, meaning the Kohanim and the Levim and the Aaron, were standing below, in between these two mountains. And HaKohanim HaKivin as Aaron. The Kohanim, they surrounded the Aaron, the Holy Ark. V'Levim as HaKohanim, and Levim surrounded the Kohanim. V'Chol Yisrael, Mikan, Mikan, and all the Jewish people were from here and there, meaning on both sides, meaning half of them on one mountain, and half of them on the other mountain. Like it says in the Pasuk in Yeshua, it says, V'chol Yisrael was Zekenim, and all the Jewish people and their elders, V'shoit, and the Gemara says, V'shoitrim, and their those who were in force, V'shoiftav, and their rulers, Imdim Mizel, Mizel, La'aron, V'gram, they were standing on either side of the Aaron, etc. Now, Havchu, then the Levim went and turned, Peneim, their face, Klape Har Gerizim, towards first Har Gerizim, U'paschu Bebracha, and they opened up in the Bracha, and that is as Rashi explains, because actually, all the curses that they said, they first opened it up with a blessing, meaning in the opposite of whoever does it gets the blessing. So they first open up with Baruch Isha Shalayasa Pesla Masecha. Blessed is the person that doesn't make a graven or molten image, meaning of Avodah Zarah. Ve'elu ve'elu, and then both of them, meaning both on those of the Har Gerizim and the Jews on the Har Evel, they were Einin Amen. They responded Amen in regard to that bracha. Now, this that it says, as Rashi clarifies, Ve'elu yamdu levarach, that they stand up for the bracha, doesn't mean that the Shvatim on one mountain, that they got up and they did the blessing and the other ones did the curses. It just means the Levim who stood between the two mountains, when they turned their face to Har Gerizim, then they made the bracha, and when they turned to Har Evel, then they made the klal. So after they made the bracha, then Hafchu Panim Klape Har Evel, Upaschu Beklal, then they turned their face to Levim towards Har Evel, and they opened up as a curse, meaning, as it says in the Pasuk in Devarim, Aruha Isha Shayasa Pesel Masecha, but cursed be the person that makes the graven or the molten image. And again, Ve'elu Ve'elu Aynu Amen, then both the Jews on either mountain answered Amen. And again, they went through this whole procedure, Atcha Gremin, Brachas V'Kolos, until they went through all the blessings and the opposite, those of the curses. Now, Ba'achach, after they finished that, Heviu Esavan, they brought the stones that they had with them, Uvanu Esam Esbeach, and they built an altar, the Sadu Besid, and that they then covered it with lime, because of Olaves called Divri HaTaira, and they wrote on it the entire Torah, meaning, because that's what it says in the Pasuk, in Devarim, where it says that Ubenisa Sham Mizbeach, that you'll build over there a Mizbeach, V'chasavta Leinas called Divri HaTaira Zais, and that you'll write on it all the words of the Torah, Ba'ar Heitev, and that's why it was Beshiv Malash, and they wrote the entire Torah on those stones in also 70 languages. Shnem, like it says over there in their pasuk, it has to be Ba'ar Heitev, explained very well, meaning to say that in whatever language a person knows, he has to be able to understand the Torah. Now, then they went and they demolished the Mizbeach after they had brought all their oilois and shlam, as the pasuk there says, Ve'alisa olav oilois, you can bring karbonis on the Mizbeach. So once they took apart the stones, then menotles avon, and then they took the stones, uvo, and then they came as we continue to Amizbeis, v'lando bimkaiman, and then they went and they rested in their place, meaning in their resting place in Gilgal. That's where they went. They stood the stones over there, which they had used in their construction of the Mizbeach, which then they took apart and took back with them to Gilgal. Now the Gemara explains the first half of the Mishnah, which are those things that could be said b'cholosh and in any language. So the Gemara asks, Parashat Sa'ita Mendalon, where do we know that the Parashat Sa'ita can be said in any language? So on that says the Gemara, because it says in the Pasuk of Bamidbar, V'amar ha-Kohen le'isha, that the Kohen will tell to the woman, which says b'cholosh and shuwaimer, in any language that he says. He says it in whatever language. Now Rashi actually brings a different girsa, that the words are V'amar el ha-isha, that he says to the woman, and that tells us b'cholosh and shehishay ma'as, in any language that she hears, because the words El Ha'isha, to the woman, sounds like words that will enter into her heart, meaning that she recognizes the language that's being said. It comes to the woman, and if she doesn't know Loshna Kodesh, it's any language that she understands. That's how we know the Parashat Saita said in any language. So to relate it, Tana Rabbanan within the Braisa, because the concept over here is that for the woman to understand what's being said to her. And that is because Mashmi'in Aisa, we let her know this Saita, that's part of the procedure over here in the Parashat Saita, b'choloshen shishemas, in any language that she understands, the following four ideas. First of all, we're letting her know, amahi shaisa, that is, for why is it that she's drinking? As the Gemara will shortly explain, because we tell her, it's the pretzit, it's the low level of morality, of sanctity that you had, that's why you're drinking. Moreover, ubamahi shaisa, we tell her, in what utensils are you going to be drinking? Which is a degrading type of a vessel, which is that of a low-class earthenware vessel. Aman nitmas, we tell her, what is it that brought you to become tame? And that's because of the frivolity and the lightheadedness, and the reason why we're telling her all these things is because we want the women to take the rebuke that they shouldn't be lightheaded with men and hang around in inappropriate ways. And because if that's what happens, then we're going to let them know that you're going to get the consequences of the stomach bloating and all the terrible tragedy that happened to this woman. And finally, uvamahi nitmas. We tell her, in what way is it that she became tummy? In other words, we tell her the specific halachas of these bitter waters, these cursed waters, regarding what type of a tumma is it that's going to be inspecting her. Meaning it depends if she became tummy, if she was mezana deliberately and willingly, then it's going to inspect and have the consequences. But if it was by mistake, for example, if let's say they told her that your husband had died, or she was violated forcibly, and that's why a man had relations with her, then it's not going to check her. As the Gemara explains, Amahi Shaisa, when it says that they were telling her that why is it that she's drinking, it's al iska kina vestira. It's because of this idea of the pretzis that she had, which the husband had to warn her, and then she secluded, that's why she's drinking. Ubamahi Shaisa, when we say we tell her with what does she drink, it's b'mekidish al-charis, it's with this earthenware vessel. Amah nitmas, regarding why is it that she became to such a state, such a lowly state where she was mezana, is aliskeis chik v'yaldis, it's because of the laughter and because of the acting childish with men that caused her to this come to this state. And finally, uvamahi nitmas, regarding what type of tumah is it that she's being checked for, we tell her that it depends if it's b'shoigig or b'mezit, it depends if this nus that she had was inadvertently or deliberately, pa'inus eberatzen, if it was forcibly or willingly. Now, on this last one, the Gemara asks, "V'kol kach lama?" Why do we have to go so far? In other words, why are we telling her the halachas, the specific minutia of halacha related to what type of a znus is it that's going to check her out for? In other words, as Rashi explains, regarding the first three questions, the first three ideas, it's understandably, because as the pasuk says in Yecheskel Chaf Gimel, "V'nivasu chal anoshim," we want all the women to hear what's going on, what brings a woman to such a despicable state. But the last one, regarding what criterion is it for the water to checking, why is that relevant? So that the Gemara says, for lehaiti laz al mayim amar, because we don't want there to be any suspicious rumors regarding the efficacy of these bitter waters. In other words, because if let's say she really was defiled, meaning she had znus, but she was raped or it was by mistake, and it doesn't work on her, it doesn't do anything to her, she shouldn't think that, wait a second, I had relations with another man as a married woman, and it didn't do anything to me. Probably if I had done it deliberately, it also wouldn't have checked either. We don't want there to be any laws, any type of rumors regarding the water. So we tell her, saying, don't think because if you had znus, it's going to check you. It's only if you did it willingly and deliberately, that's when it's going to work. But if not, even though there was znus, it's not going to do any effect on the woman. Now the Gemara continues with the Mishnah that said Vidu Meiser, the confessions of the Meiser also can be said in any language. And that the Gemara says Menolam. From where do we know this? Does it like it says a pasuk in Devar? Says of a martel of Nei Hashem Lekecha, that you will say in front of Hashem your God, be arti hakodesh min habayis. I have liquidated, I have taken out all that which is holy from my house. I mean, I have given it to their respective places. Now, v'yal of amir misaita, we learn out this word where it says v'amarta, that you should say. We learn out the word saying from the parash of saita, where, as we just said before, the b'chalosh and shuaymer, which is in any language that the person says. That the Gemara asks, omlir v'zir labaya, but v'leil of amir milavim. Why don't you learn the saying from the parash of Levim, where, just like we said before, malahal b'losh nakoidish, just like by the Levim, by Har Griz, Mahar Evil, by the Klolas and the Brachas. It says that they said, it's a Lashon of Amir, and it had to be in Lashon HaKodesh. Savkam Lashon HaKodesh, and maybe over here also by Vidu Maisa, where it says Amira also has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. So that the Gemara answer is no. Danan Amira Gredasa, Ma'amira Gredasa. We learn out the Halacha over here by Vidu Maisa, where it only says the word Amira, from another place where it only used the word Amira, which is by the Parash of Saita. But Ve'in Danan Amira Gredasa, Me'anira Va'amira. But we're learning out over here by Vidu Maisa, where it only says the word Amira, from the parasha of Levim by Har Griz Mahar Evil, where it says Aniya and Amira. Maybe there it needs Lashon HaKodesh. But here where it's only Amira, we'll learn it out from somewhere else where it only says Amira, which is by Saita, which is B'chol Lashon in any language that is said. Now, related discussion, the Gemara says, Tanya learned a brisa regarding this topic of Vidu Maisa. B'Shima ben Yechoy Omer, he says, Adam Omer Shivcha B'chol Namach. Person should say his own praise in a very low voice, but V'gnusa B'chol Ram, but his disgrace in a loud voice, as follows. Shivchei b'kol namach, his praise should be said in a low voice, and that's proven from this concept where, because it doesn't say in this context, aniyah, of announcing, of responding. We learn this min vidu mahamaisa. We learn this out from the confession of maisa that we're talking about, whereas it says in Dvarim Chavav, it says, levarti mi mitzvaysecha, v'lei shechachti, the person, when he comes and he distributes all his maisras, and he comes and he says this confession, he's actually praising himself, saying, Hashem, I have not transgressed your commandments. I didn't forget them. Now that is obviously said in a low voice, because it doesn't say aniyah. It doesn't say like a response, as if it's an announcement. So that's said in a low voice. But genusay b'kol ram, but a person's own disgrace, he says in a loud voice. Where do we know that from? In Mikra Bikurim, from the parasha of Bikurim, where it says the parasha of Arami Oyved Avi, where that's a disgrace for the person because he's confessing that his grandfather, Lavan Arami, who our mothers, Rachel and Leah, their father was Lavan, and that's who we come from. He was a wicked person. It's our disgrace. We say in a loud voice, like it says by Mikra Bikurim, it is something that says in a loud voice. It's not like Vidu Maisa, which doesn't say Aniyah. Here it says Aniyah. Now, that the Gemara asks. V'gnusa b'kol ram, is it really true that a person's own disgrace that he should say out loud? But v'amar b'yichin v'shem y'b'shem ben yoichi says, why is it that they instituted that a person should say his prayer, a tefillah b'lachash, a silent prayer? And actually, as we find by Chana, where that's what halachas a tefillah learned out by, it says v'koyla layishma, that her voice wasn't heard. So why is that? K'dei sh'loy levayish es ayraver, because we don't want the sinners to be embarrassed because they confess in their prayers for the sins that they have done. And as we find, the pasuk does not differentiate between the place of slaughter of a chatas and that of an oila. In other words, there's no distinct place where a sin offering has to be slaughtered that is different than the place of, let's say, another kodesh kodeshim type of a sacrifice like an oila, because we don't want people to realize, oh, that person is obviously being a karma chatas and he's going to be embarrassed. So that's the same idea why we say a tefillah b'lachash, we say it silently because we don't want people hearing our confessions of our sins. So the question is, if that's Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, how could he have said that a person's own gnus should be announced in public, as we say by the Parsha Bikurim, when he says that that's the whole reason why we say our prayer, b'lachash, silently for ourselves, that no one should hear our disgrace. So the Gemara says, Loi teme gnusa. Don't say that in regards to the Parsha Bikurim, that what should be said b'kol ram in a loud voice was a reference to our disgrace, because that, yeah, no one should hear that. Ela imit tsairoi. Rather, the reference to a person's own pain, meaning in regards to the tsaris that came over us, the Jewish people, that is the tsara of Lavan Arami, which we reference in the Parashat Bikurim, the tsara of Mitzrayim, they tried killing us. That is something that is said b'kol ram. But you're right, gnus, as we find by Tefillah B'Lachash, we don't say that out loud, and rather here what we're talking about is the tsar. Not so. This is a switch in why we mention love in our Rami. The first version had it as a disgrace of ourselves. Now we're not saying that in that context. We're saying as the tsar we had from a love in our Rami and from the Egyptians. Because it's kind of like learning the brisa, this idea that when the person has a tsar, he wants to say it out loud that people should hear about the pain that he's going through. As the pasuk says in Vayikra, it says "V'tamei tamei yikra," that the mitzayra announces out loud "tamei tamei," meaning remove yourself from me because I'm tamei. Now the idea of it is tzarich le'idia tzairi l'rabim. As the brisa explains, a person has to notify to people his pain that here he is, and he's saying this out loud that people should hear him. And the reason is so v'rabim mevakshim olav rachamim, so that the many people that pass by, they'll hear about his plight, and they'll beseech mercy for him. This again, the idea that your tzar, you say b'kol ram. So too, v'chol mi she'ir by davar, anyone that something bad happened to him, tzarech le'dil rabim, he has to notify this to the other people, v'rabim mevakshim olav rachamim, and then other people will beseech mercy on his behalf. So again, that's the difference between Vidu Meiser and Mikr Bikurim, that Vidu Meiser is a person's own shvach, so you say that quietly, but Mikr Bikurim, which is a person's pain, again, because of all the tzars that we have, that is said, B'kol Ram. Now, Gufo, we mentioned in passing before, Amr B'yechel M'shem M'shem Ben Yoichi, Ne'ma Tiknu Tefillah B'lachash. Why is it that it was instituted that a person should, I mean, there's a tefillah that the Shat says, but then everyone has their own personal prayer they say silently. Why was that? So that the sinners should not be embarrassed, and because they confess their sins during their prayer. And as we see, as we find regarding the slaughter, there's no difference between the chatas and the eila, they're done in Safin, so that no one should know who's bringing the chatas and who's bringing the eila. That the Gemara asks, there's no difference between a chatas and the eila, that people could discern who's bringing the sin offering because he did something wrong. But there is a difference between them, and there's a sign that you could know who's the chatas and who's the oila, regard to their bloods that are thrown on the mizbech. Because dam chatas lamailam, the blood of someone that bring a karma chatas, is thrown above what's called the chutas sikr, which is a certain string that went breaking the top part of the mizbech and the bottom part of the mizbech. As it says by the chatas, that has to be al karnes mizbech, has to be on the corners, meaning it has to be on the top upper part. Yet the dam oila, but the blood of a karban oila doesn't say karnes, doesn't have to be the corners. And rather, the person actually places the bloods, the kohen throws the blood, lamata, below the chotas sikr, and so to all other bloods. So you could tell who's bringing a karma chatas by where his bloods are thrown. So why are you saying there's no difference? Here the person is going to be embarrassed. So now the Gemara answers, no, because hasam, there in regards to the zrik of the dam, it's kohen, it's only the kohen who the other that knows. Because only the kohen does the zrik. And everyone else doesn't know, and therefore it's not so embarrassing. Whereas the shechita could be done actually even with a zar, with a non-kayin. So people are going to know, oh, look, he's bringing his carbon over there, he's a sinner. That we don't want people to know. But regarding the zrika, yes, the kayin will know, but the kayin's used to it. He's bringing a karma chatas for everybody, and therefore that's not as embarrassing. But the Gemara still asks, but v'ikka chatas nekeva oyle zachar. The problem is that there is a difference. A carbon chatas, a sin offering, is a female animal. A carbon oyle is a male. So you could tell the difference depending what type of an animal it is. So that the Gemara says, that's not a problem. Because hasa mechasya, there the nakvus, the area that indicates that it's a female, of the female, is actually covered by alia with the tail. And therefore it's not recognizable. You can't tell if it's a male or a female. They look the same. The area which shows that is actually covered with the tail. So that the Gemara asks, tenach kavsa, that's very good for a female sheep, which has a tail. Seira ma'ikla meima, but regarding a female goat, which doesn't have a tail, and therefore you could see pretty clearly if it's male or female, what are you going to be able to say over there? And therefore, since a person who brings the karma chatas brings either a kavsa or a seira, if he's bringing a seira, he's going to be embarrassed. So I think my answer is, ho, hasim ihu de kamechsa nafshe. There he's embarrassing himself. The boy leila sui kavsa, he had the option of bringing a female sheep if he was really going to be embarrassed. But he brings a she-goat, where and the reason being is because any karma chatas of an individual who sinned, if he wants to, he could bring a kisva, he could bring a female sheep, or if he wants, he could bring a seira, a female goat. So he had the option, so it's his prerogative. But it's not that we don't want him to be embarrassed. But obviously he doesn't care because he would have brought a different type, and therefore that's not a problem, even though here it's going to be recognizable. Except for the chatas of an avodas kechavim, if someone does idol worship by mistake, then there the pasuk specifies it has to be ezbah shenasa, has to be a goat. in its first year, as it says in Parashat Shlach, which therefore leads us to the Gemara's next question, which is Chatas Davoy Tzikah Chavim, but if someone's bringing a Karma Chatas for sinning with idols, the Leisagi Delav Siruah has to be a Shigot. Ma'ikal Amem, what are you going to say over there? There, you're saying the whole reason why the Torah doesn't have the Chatas Shechted in a different place, slaughtered than the Oila, is that it shouldn't be embarrassed. Here, by default, they're going to see what type of an animal it is because there's no tail and he doesn't have an option of bringing an animal with a tail. They're going to know that he's bringing Karma Chatas. And that the Gemara answers, Hasam Nichsa Benezel. Yeah, there we want him to be embarrassed. The Torah is actually doing this on purpose. Ki Hechid and the Chapele said that he should have an atonement because this is a great sin that he did. Idol worship, this is like going against God, God forsake, meaning where you're doing idol worship. So then, actually, yeah, then the Torah wants you to bring an animal that everyone know that you bring a Karma Chatas so that a person should have a greater atonement. But by regular Karma Chatas, there the Torah doesn't want him to be embarrassed, and that's why he has the option of bringing a female sheep. Now the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah that said, Kriya Shema, the recital of the Shema, it also can be said in any language. So ask the Gemara Menon, where do we know this from? So like it says in Pasuk in Devarim, it says, Shema Yisrael, hear Israel. So what does it mean here? Is B'chaloshen Shat Shemeh in any language that you hear. If you're talking to the Jewish people, you could have some Jew living in one place, another Jew in the other place, and they all know different languages. If you're speaking to any Jew, it must mean that you could be saying it in any language. Now, actually, the Gemara brings that this halacha mentioned in our Mishnah is a machlokes. Taraban Gunim Abraisa. Kriya Shema, the first opinion says, actually has to be said kiksava, the way it's written in the Torah, which is in Lashon HaKadosh, that's Divrei Rebbe. The Chachamim, they say, like the Tana of our Mishnah, that Bekaloshna can be said in any language. So the Gemara asks, my time in the Rebbe, what's the reason of Rebbe? So I'm a crow because the Pasuk says over there in the parasha of Shema, it says, Behoyu Advar Ma'ela, that it should be, which means Behavi Yasin Yihu, it should be as it is, which means to say, as it's written in the Torah, meaning in Lashon HaKadosh, that's how you have to say it. But V'Rabbanan, as we mentioned before, I'm a crush Shema, the Pasuk says Shema here, which is Bekaloshna Shat Shemea, in any language that you hear, and therefore it could be in any language. Now, but the Gemara asks, but Rabbanan Amir Ksei V'Hoyu, but what do they do with what Rebbe's source was? It says V'Hoyu, has to be as is, meaning in the Lashon HaKadosh. And that they say, no, that teaches you a different halacha. Hahu Shalei Yikru'enu L'Mafreya. When it says as is, doesn't mean as the word meaning of Lashon HaKadosh, it means as is, that it shouldn't be read out of sequence. It has to be read in the proper order, that's what it says as is. But regarding the language, it could be in any language. Now, ask the Gemara of Rebbe, where does he know this halacha of it shouldn't be out of sequence? Because he uses v'hoyu that to say as is, meaning in that language. But it doesn't say for the sequence, so how does he know that? So nafkele midvarm hadvarm. He learns it out where it says v'hoyu hadvarm ha'ela, and that these words shall be as they are. Now it should have said v'hoyu dvarm ha'ela. Why say v'hoyu hadvarm ha'ela, the extra hey? To tell you that another thing should be b'havaya as is, not just the language, but also the sequence. But Rabbanan, Dvarm HaDvarm Lo Mashmo, they don't hold that that's a significant diuk to make and teach a new drush of halacha from, where Dvarm HaDvarm, it's the same thing, and therefore they wouldn't learn out that, and therefore they know it from V'Hayu. Now the Gemara asks, Rebbe Nami HaKsev Shema, what do they do with the Rabbanan's limud? It says here, which sounds like in any language that you hear. So that the Gemara says, Ahumi Ba'ile, he needs it for a different halacha. Because actually you can't be in any language, it has to be like V'Hayu in Lashon HaKadosh. So rather, Shema comes to teach, you have to have your ears hear what you're saying out of your mouth, meaning it has to be something that's audible when you're saying the parasha of Shema, then you have to be able to hear it. That's what Shema is teaching. But Rabbanan, they actually hold, like the other opinion, which is mentioned this machlekim sechtes brachas of tezvav manalef, that if someone recites Shema and he doesn't hear it in his ear, what he's saying, he fulfills his obligations. Obviously, that Shema is not teaching you that you have to be able to hear it. Rather, it's saying b'chaloshen shat shemeya, you could say Shema in any language. Now, the Gemara concludes from this discussion that le'miksav a Rebbe. Let us say that Rebbe holds as we continue on top of Lam Gimel Mat Aleph from the fact that he required the parsha of Shema to be said kiksava in Lashon HaKadosh. That obviously, Kala Torah, that generally in the rest of the halachas of reciting of the Torah, that it's b'chal lashon emra, that it could be said in any language. And the reason for this is because the isa gedadik b'lashon HaKadosh nemra, if you would entertain to say that any time a parasha from the Torah is read, that it has to be said in lashon HaKadosh, so then v'hoyu d'kas rachman alamali, why would Rebbe then require v'hoyu to say that it has to be kavayasin, meaning in lashon HaKadosh, What do you mean? Why is it different than anything else that's written in the Torah? That has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. Obviously, if we need a special limit to say that this has to be Lashon HaKodesh, that of Shema, must be that because generally, the rest of the recital of the Torah could be said in any language. Now the Gemara says, no, not a raya. It's truch. Even if you would say that the whole entire Torah always had to be said in Lashon HaKodesh, we would still need a special limit that the parasha of Shema has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. Mishum dechsev Shema. Because since it says Shema, that's why you need Vahayu. So that you shouldn't expound, like the Rabbanan do, that Shema means B'chalotshon Shata Shemeya. Rather, that's why we need Vahayu to say, no, it can't be any language, it has to be Lashon HaKodesh. And rather, Shema comes to tell you that you have to be Mashmil Aznav, it has to be something audible that you hear with your ears. Now the Gemara says the same thing regarding the other opinion. Lamek Sabi Rabbanan, let's say the Rabbanan hold, the Kala Tara Kula B'lashon HaKodesh, that the whole entire Torah has to be said only in Lashon HaKodesh. Why? If you would entertain to say that generally whatever is written in the Torah could be read in any language, so Shema Dekaz Rachman Alomali, then why would I need a special limit to say that the Kriya Shema could be said in any language from the word Shema, that B'chaloshon Shata Shemeya? What do you mean? Why is it any different than the rest of the Torah, which is always in any language? And then the Gemara says, no. Again, the same thing in reverse. No, Itzrach, you would need Shema to tell you that you could be any language, Mishum Nechsev Vahayu. Because since it says Vahayu, and you would think to entertain and interpret Vahayu Kabayos and Yehu like Rebbe does, that means to say it has to be said Lashon HaKodesh. That's why we need Shema to say no, it could be Lashon Shata Shemeya, and therefore again Vahayu like they learn actually is a reference to something else, not to Lashon HaKodesh, but rather that a person should not be Kari Shema, L'mafreya, it cannot be out of sequence.